Fantastic job. And that last song is really going to encapsulate today's message about putting God in his rightful place. Before we do that, though, today I want to celebrate for just a little bit. We had our extreme camp, and we had some incredible things happen in this building. And the Bible talks about honoring those whom honor is due. And also, at Genesis Metro, we're always going to celebrate life change. So I thought, who better to hear it from than our children's pastor? Would you guys welcome to the stage, Jesse Galata.
Thanks. We had an awesome 3 days at Extreme Camp with over 260 kids walking through those doors to hear about the life-changing love of Jesus Christ, as well as engage in community. So during this time of Extreme Camp, we got to have so many fun activities. They did a zip line, they did pump it up, they did a human bungee. They also got to participate in some small group discussions as well. So it was so much fun to watch all your kids as they just worship the Lord with all their heart, dancing and singing, as well as get to experience them with the smiles on their face and all their laughs as they saw us do our big event finale at the very end. But we do want to say thank you to all of our volunteers that came out to make this event possible. We had the most kids ever, but also the most volunteers ever that stepped out and really helped out with this event. So we want to say thank you for serving, thank you for sacrificing, thank you for giving, because it is not lost on us how much time and energy and resources gets poured into this event, and we know that we could not have done it without you guys. But more importantly, I think the cool thing about this whole thing was that our volunteers all had the same vision to go after that 107 and to do whatever it takes to reach that child so that they can know about Jesus Christ. So if that meant that they had to like dress up like a tourist for a day and wear a Hawaiian shirt and a bucket hat, they were gonna do it because that's what it takes to reach the 107. Or if that meant that they were going to extend another invitation to their neighbor, they were gonna do it because that's what it takes to reach the 107. Or if they had to get out of their comfort zone and they had to overcome the fear of rejection, they were gonna do it because that's what it takes to reach the 107. So it's so cool to be a part of a people that just go out and relentlessly, continuously pursue the lost so that they can become found. I think another cool thing is we had so many different stories about the things that were happening at Extreme Camp, and I wanna share two of them with you. The first is that while we were here doing our big event, we had all of our kids that are just here and they're sitting on the ground, and one of our leaders overheard a little girl talking to her friend about how to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we know that this girl, she's not been churched before. She's never really had that in her life. She doesn't come from a grace-based background. But yet in 3 days, she understood how to share the gospel with one of her friends. The other story that we have is one of our leaders was continuously just inviting one of their families. And after Extreme Camp, they sent them a text and they were like, you know what? My kid had the best time at Extreme Camp, and because of his experience, we are going to change our Sunday morning schedule so that we can be here at church because we want to know more about who Jesus is. So awesome, so awesome. Yeah, at GM, we celebrate life change, big and small, and we set our pastors set that example all the time. And at Extreme Camp on Thursday, we had 42 kids dedicate their lives to their Savior for the first time. And we had 37 rededicate. So that's a total of 80 kids, almost 80 kids, making a decision for Christ this week. It was so incredible, so incredible. We're in the middle of this series called Change the Label. And I just got to thinking about how for those kids, they got to change their label from lost to found, from lost to found. So let's give it up for God one more time for all the life change that we got to experience at Genesis Metro. It is such a privilege to get to serve, and I know that God is going to continue to do some awesome things as we send our students to New Mexico for Fuse Camp. We cannot wait to see what God continues to do. So let's welcome Pastor Tim back to the stage as he continues this morning's message.
Give it up for Jesse Galata. Oh, man, it's so easy to work with all-stars, and Jesse Galata is definitely an all-star. Your kids are in great hands, and that is the next generation of Genesis Metro. So today, I want to continue this topic of changing the label, and today I want to talk about moving from fails to a future, fails to a future, because we're all going to have times where we fail. The problem is that sometimes we begin to look at our life through that lens of failure, and we're unwilling to get up because now we just see ourselves as having blown our opportunity, when obviously with God there's so many second chances, and we're going to look at how to move out of that failure and into a future. Before I do that, I want to set that up with a DC comic book philosophy. If you would, put up Bizarro World. And so in Bizarro World, give it to me. It's a planet that exists out there in the cosmos where everything of the superheroes has its equal and opposite. And so Bizarro Superman does not want to go in and save the day. Bizarro Superman is going to attack. Instead of being nice, he's going to be mean. Instead of loving, he's going to hate. And there's a cosmic struggle between Bizarro World and the real world. And as I was thinking about how we are and how we operate inside us, you can bring the lights back to normal. I was thinking that this is true in a theological sense, very theological sense, because all of us have an equal and opposite to what God's will is in our lives. That inside of us, the Bible says that we have a sin nature. That because Adam sinned, the Bible says that sin passed upon all of us. Genetically, it is in our DNA to sin. If you want to read an expose on that, just see Romans chapter 7. It'll melt your brain a little bit, but it will explain to you that there is something inside of you, a powerful force, more powerful than you. That's why we need God to offset it. But this bizarro person inside of you naturally wants to do wrong, naturally wants to do what is right in our own eyes versus what God says is best. And so today, when we fail, it's when we give in to that person of sin inside of us. And so I want to tell you some steps that once you've given in, once you've made a mistake, how you can overcome that issue. The prophet Isaiah wrote an extensive, the largest prophetic book in the Old Testament. And I'm going to summarize so many chapters inside of 2 points today. So you're going to get your money's worth. But understand this. Because of Israel's disobedience, their failure, the Bible says they were carried off into captivity. So their disobedience cost them a lot, and we'll get into that in just a moment. And then the second half of Isaiah's prophecy is dealing with restoration. It's dealing with a comeback. And so today I want to talk about some of the things that led to the fail, and then I want to give you the opposite side of how once you have fallen, how can you seek and how can you become restored. And so let's get into the message. It says in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." See the bizarro? Is everybody following me? I felt like this was clever, so you, come on, get on my train, okay? "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own opinion and clever in their own sight." Man, have you ever willingly, knowingly mislabeled something? Have you ever accidentally believed the wrong label? Because I have. I remember I went to a Chinese buffet. Anybody? And my parents growing up in my household, we never went to Chinese. Never had it. And so I was an adult. I was in seminary. Old enough that I should have known better, but not experienced enough to actually know better. So they have those little placards universally, right, on the front of Chinese food. And there's red ones that signify something. Does anybody know what it signifies? It signifies hot. And Chinese people don't play around with that, okay? That is not like a suggestion, all right? That is a warning sign. And I did not know the warning sign. And I sat down and I dove into the spiciest thing I had ever put in my mouth. And I want to tell you, it was past painful. It was like the nauseous. It's like, I need to go sleep. I need some milk. I mean, it was terrible. Now, the label was there, but I didn't know it. I was confused by it. As a matter of fact, sometimes whenever we don't understand labels, it can lead to some embarrassing moments. I want to show you a picture, and you're going to know what this is. However, I had went through my entire adult life until like a few years ago, and my wife and I were talking, and she said, I need a manila folder. But the color of this folder looks a lot like vanilla, right? With a V. Do you see where I'm going with this? I was like, what did you say? She said, manila. I was like, manila? I said, it's vanilla. Vanilla. She's like, no, it's not. I was like, yes, it is. She's like, look it up. I mean, that's embarrassing. Have you ever gone like all your life thinking something? There's a lot of phrases that we say that are incorrect, that we think we're saying correct, and nobody ever tells us. They're just like, oh, they're saying that wrong. That's embarrassing. Whenever we don't know how to properly label things, it can lead to some embarrassing places. As a matter of fact, when you mislabel people, that can lead to some serious hurt. When you mislabel God, well, that's a whole nother level of bad. And the Israelites had some false labels. It says that they were willing to take everything and go bizarro with it. So the things that were good, they were calling evil. And the things that were sweet, they were calling bitter. And so they were taking what God intended, and they were doing the exact opposite. Now, this isn't some pagan people, right? This is God's people. This is the ones that walked across the Red Sea. This is the ones that saw Jericho fall. This is a heritage of knowing who God is. And yet, for all of their past knowledge, they were running in the opposite direction, doing the opposite things, wise in their own eyes. Now, man, that'll preach, right? Because there's a lot of things that we do that, let's just be honest, we know it's not a question of whether, like, well, I'm not sure if that's what God says. Or, you know it's not. You know it's not. And the moment that you step across the threshold of saying, I'm going to do it anyway, what are you saying? I'm wise in my own eyes. I can label things whatever I want. I can prioritize however I want. Now, these false labels, these bizarro labels, led to some bad places. Number one, false labels will lead you to some dark places. False labels will always lead you to dark places. And this morning, if you have any darkness in your life, I will guarantee you, at some juncture, you put good for evil and evil for good. You put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And it's just like a little kid. Have you ever seen a little kid? It could even be a teenager. I've even seen adults do this. That they try something that you told them they weren't going to like, and they try it anyway, and then they have this incredibly ugly face on, and you ask them, did that taste good? And they're like, yes. Because they're so prideful that they're never going to admit that it tastes bad because they emotionally committed to a wrong label. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about, okay? God is constantly asking you, when you taste the world stuff and when you allow your sin nature to incorrectly label things, and you're sitting there with a lemon in your mouth, your face is all scrunched up, you're walking in darkness, and he's like, is that good? Do you like, is that, you enjoy that? And I'm amazed at how many people are looking back at God going, yes, it's so That's so wonderful. I love this. I love being in the darkness. I love it. And I don't care how macho a man or woman that you are, there is a darkness that is uncomfortable to all. Can I get an amen? I've been in it. I consider myself a pretty brave person, but I've seen and felt and experienced darkness out in the woods and animals and giant things and not having the ability to defend myself and haunted houses. We did the most haunted house in America. We're thinking about doing a different haunted place this year. If you think that's a cool idea, send us an email and say we'd love to see more of that. If you'd like to see us drop Ben off something new every year. Kid stopped in front of his house this week and was like, I know you, a teenager. I saw you in a video. He's never met this kid before. It was amazing. Anyway, when it comes to these false labels, they can lead us to these places of darkness. And man, I'm going to tell you, you'll get to a dark place that is scary. You keep going into the wrong long enough, and it'll get scary. Not only do false labels lead us to dark places, false labels lead us to give up our freedom. They were carried away to this nation called Babylon, and the Syrians were the ones that dominated the northern tribe, but the Babylonians were coming along. It doesn't really matter for your purposes, but the point is that a pagan people took power over God's people as a result of their disobedience. As a result of their false labels, they lost their freedom. Man, I don't know about you, but I love my freedom. I do. I love living in the freest country that has ever been created. I personally don't understand how some are now wanting to willingly give up their freedoms to the government to allow the government to think for you. I'm going to tell you, if you go study historically, that has never gone well. The government leading you is not what you want. What we want is self-discipline underneath God's authority, all right? That's the best that it'll ever work. And so as we were pushing this morning into what happened to the Israelites, they lost their freedom. You see, God wants you to live the freest life possible. And the freest life possible comes with God's boundaries. Then you make a choice whether or not you want to live inside of those boundaries. God has never made people do anything. And so before you put God in the category of some autocrat sitting on a throne pounding people with a hammer, I want you to know that God's people disobeyed more than they obey. So at some point we have to say there's a choice involved, that we make a choice. And so you have been given the freedom from the maker, the creator, to choose. And yet, so often we allow the bizarro person inside of us, the sinner person inside of us, choose a false label that gives up our freedom. Where does that come from? False labels come from a heart of rebellion. Rebellion. And rebellion, we can define that real easy. If God says it's supposed to be this way, I choose to do something else. I choose to tweak it, modify it, or I might just outright defy it. Now, I want you to think about a moment. How do you respond whenever you hear God's word and it's in opposition to how you live? Think about that for a moment. Is your heart one that's like, yes, I need to make that change? You know what? I'm going to make that change. Matter of fact, I'm going to write that verse down. I'm going to put it in my car, put it in my bathroom mirror, and every day when I start going toward, let's just say, I'm a negative person, I'm going to think on this verse. That all good things come from God, that the blessings that are around me are way more than the negativity that's around me, that God has given me so much in life, no matter how much bad that could ever happen, it could never be more than the good I have in Jesus Christ. That though I may even suffer for 60, 70, 80, 90 years on this earth, I will live in glory and eternity with no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears forever and ever. So what is it about us that could ever mislabel and say that I have a bad life whenever we have eternal life waiting on us? You see, it's all perspective on how we label things. If you label things by bad, then you're going to be negative. You're going to feel sad. You're going to feel bad all the time. If you have a hope in Jesus and you look to Jesus and you know the love that you have in Jesus, you know the security that you have in Jesus, you know the forgiveness that you have in Jesus, it would change your perspective. You know, this system of mislabeling things, it's carried out throughout the Bible and even in the New Testament. In John chapter 3, it says that they loved the wrong label, that Jesus came into the world and that he was the light. And in John chapter 3, it says, here's the truth. This breaks the heart of God. Let me attempt to make God into who he is for you this morning. Instead of a remote being, can I tell you that God has a heart just like you? That when he's cheated on, he feels just like you. When he extends himself in incredible love and it's rejected and not received, it hurts. Just like when you do that. I want you to imagine John writing this on behalf of God, whispering into his ear. So God superintended the writing of all the scriptures, and John writes these words. Here's the truth, that men love the darkness more than the light because their deeds were evil. That Jesus is coming to save them, and they would rather have darkness than the light of life. As a matter of fact, when he interjects the word love, we can automatically say, by deduction, it's a heart thing, right? It has to be a heart thing that we love the wrong labels. That instead of Jesus, the one who died to save us, we wrap our arms around bitterness instead of sweet. We wrap our arms around darkness instead of light. Man, false labels lead us to dark places. If you go on into the New Testament, the Apostle Paul had some commentary in 2 Timothy. He's teaching a young preacher, and he said that there's going to come a time, watch this, where people will prefer comfortable lies over challenging or difficult truths. He says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. So in John chapter 3, he said there was a heart problem, there's a heart issue. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says that there's a hearing issue. Do you have any friends? Anybody? I have some friends that have hearing issues. Anybody else? It's like you say something, and have you ever seen like the look in their face, and you know that what you said and what they heard are two different things. Anybody know what I'm saying? Like, because like you, by their response, like you said something that was kind of intense, and they're like, oh, yeah. And you're like, wait, you didn't tell me what I just said. That's what I like to say. You know, you said, no, that's not what I said. That's not even close to what I said. I think that God is constantly trying to get messages to us that'll get us out of the captivity that we got ourselves into, that will get us out of the darkness that we willingly walked into, that will get us out of the embarrassment that is constantly plaguing our lives because we keep embracing false labels instead of God. As a matter of fact, here is Paul saying that there would come a time when even the church, listen, the church, people that go to church every week, that instead of finding teachers that would give them the truth, they would rather gather false teachers that will tell them what they want to hear, that would never challenge them, that would never say, there is a line in the sand of sin and it's wrong and it's going to cost you, it's going to hurt you, and there's going to be a consequence for that someday in eternity will be held into account. They would rather say, hey, you know what? You just love Jesus and it's going to work out. You just love Jesus and everything is going to be great. You know what? He understands that you're struggling with that and you just keep doing that and he's going to love you anyway because after all, he's a God of grace. And whenever you go to church, what are you going to hear? I mean, I think that the Word of God ultimately feels good, but sometimes pain is involved. Repentance is not easy, or everybody would do it. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people that are in sin. There is never a time when I've counseled someone that they didn't know what the issue was. Do you know that? Like, I have never sat down with someone and it's like, boom, I should not be involved in pornography. I did not know that. Thank you. I should quit stealing money from my company? Thank you. I did not know that. I should quit lying to my wife? Brilliant. All these years, I was so confused about whether or not that was a gray area. No. They know. But in their mind, they go bizarro. And they're like, well, if I call it light, then I can fool people. If I call it bitter and it's really sweet, I'll just say it's sweet when I know it's bitter. And we try to fool ourselves as though we can fool God. Man, I hope this morning that you would come to a church where sometimes there's going to be some uncomfortable truths. Sometimes there's going to be some challenging truths. As a matter of fact, if I do my job every week, I'm going to push you toward deciding something. That this is what God's word says, and which side are you on? Because if I preach and you go away and you say, man, that's a good sermon, and you didn't have to make one decision, I have failed at my job. Once we've gotten to this place of failure, whether it's a heart issue or a hearing issue, how do we get up? How do we get back on track? Because chances are, there are some, if not many, in here this morning that have put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, light for darkness and darkness for light. You've loved the darkness more than the light. And as a result, you kind of fill your life with echo chambers that don't challenge you. The Bible says that in Isaiah 42, when there makes this turn toward restoration, he gives us a one-step principle how we can move from fails to a future. And it's in Isaiah 42, 8. It says, I am Yahweh. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. Big finale. Yahweh, we talked about 3 weeks ago, is the incommunicable, most holy and reverent name of God that was above all the other names of God, and it's how he introduced himself in Moses to its most full fashion, that I am eternally present to help. I am the I am. And he says, that is my name. And so here is a people that is in captivity, that is in darkness, that have lost all their freedom, that willingly disobeyed God and put idols ahead of him, chose worldly things over godly truths, and now they have went away to this place of hate and this place of darkness, this place of despair, and they're wondering, am I ever going to get out? And God says to them, he comes to them, and he says, I am Yahweh. I am present to help. That is my name. And it kind of has like a little bit of a brashness to it, right? Like, I don't know if y'all hear that. I was like, know my name. Say my name, all right? It's like that's my name, right? And so God is like, I am Yahweh. That is my name. Know my name, all right? Let me be clear who I am this morning. God says, I am Yahweh. I am the God that is above all gods. I am not one of many gods. I am not one of many options. I am not one of many opinions. I am not one of many purposes. This morning, you need to take one step if you want to go from darkness to light, if you want to go from captive to freedom, if you want to go from addiction to set free, if you want to go from a failed marriage to a successful marriage. There's only one step in this process that you have to take, and that is recognizing, correctly labeling who God is. Because he says, I'm not going to share my glory with anyone else. And that is not a narcissistic statement. That is who God is. And we need to understand that this morning, that we are not God. Yet we grab for the trophy all the time. We want the credit all the time. We want to share his glory. We want to create a system that lifts us up rather than putting him on the throne of our lives. And as a result, we find ourselves in these dark places. Every time we compete with God, we are lifting ourselves up as our own idol. We could put money in that place. We could put so many. We could take our purpose and our career and elevate it, because you're not striving to elevate your career to elevate God. You're striving to elevate your career because you want more money. Man, do you know how dark that will, that'll lead you to destruction whenever you put something above God? So one step this morning would be recognizing who God is. And he says the moment that we recognize who he is, that God begins to restore. Look at what it says later in Isaiah chapter 42. He says, oh, it's so good. I will lead the blind along the unfamiliar way. I will guide them down paths that they have never traveled. I will turn the darkness in front of them into light and level out the rough ground. That is what I will do for them. I will not abandon them. How do you get back on track this morning? If you're going through the darkness, if you've gone into captivity, if there's something that has a hold of you that you know it is in more control of you than you are of it, then listen to me. There is a path that you don't know about. There is a way that you've never gone. And if you want to find freedom this morning, and if you want to be restored, if you want to get out of the jail that you locked yourself into, he says he can even turn the darkness that's right in front of you into light. It's not that he's putting, this is awesome, God is, he's not putting light into the darkness. He says, I will turn it. I will transform the very darkness that is in front of you into light. Wouldn't it be incredible if someone walked in here with a darkness that was in their life and they crowned God with the correct label and all of a sudden their darkness turned into light? If they had felt cast off and abandoned and they listened to this word critically and they said, wait a minute, I have mislabeled God. He did not cast me off. Either sin or the results of sin in a broken world, they cause me pain. But God says, I will never abandon you. And I think we can give God glory in his house for being this type of God. Though we have made mistakes, God never makes a mistake. And every time a person that has been willing to turn to him and call upon the name of Yahweh to help them, to restore them, he has never, never cast off that person. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we pray that people would receive this word of truth, that they would realize, God, that it's a way that they've never known. It's a way they've never gone. But there is a way. Even if they walked in here this morning not knowing what it is, that there is a way. And I pray, God, that they would realize that he said that he will level out their stance. Some people feel like this morning their life and the pillars of their life are on shaky ground. Man, wouldn't it be incredible if we put God in his rightful place, that we could receive the truth, that he could steady us when we have an unsteady stance. So many times our life has not gone the way that we thought it would, and we end up in places that we never dreamed we would be, and we start to lose hope. We start to believe that's just the way it's going to be. Boy, that is the mindset of defeat. I don't want one person coming to my church that doesn't believe there's hope. That is sad to me. That is beyond sad, that someone would be sitting in here believing that there's no way out, that there's not a solution, that there's no light. Listen to Isaiah 42 this morning. There's a way that you don't know about. There's a path you've never been down before. And if you would crown him this morning that the light would come in, that hope would come in, that all of a sudden your outlook would change, that something inside of you would be different, that your relationship could be glued back together, that your parenting skills would evolve, that you would be able to give your kids something that was never given to you, predicated on having a new father that you've never had before. Oh, there's a new way that's available for you this morning, but you've got to choose it. You've got to quit putting bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, darkness for light and light for darkness. You've got to choose it this morning. God has done all that he could do for you this morning. Now it's up to you, your moment of choice. Do you want to stay in the darkness, or do you want to walk in the light? Do you want to feel the darkness, or would you rather feel the sunshine down on your life for the first time in a long time this morning? Would you stand as we worship him?